This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
I don't know. It's like, what is my worth? What is my purpose? I need to define those things myself. I started to realize really quickly, I don't fit into whatever this wellness space is. I felt like it was a very specific type of person.
There's definitely people out there who are obviously just getting paid. Mm-hmm. And you can tell. It wasn't really important to me to be able to maintain my own identity. And sometimes that can be hard when someone else's identity is so strong and so big. And I wouldn't accept the fact that it actually was affecting me, so I wouldn't deal with it.
Hello, Sabrina. It is amazing to have you on, looking stunning. I feel like we need to show the camera like a bob shake, because both of us are giving what we need to give today.
Are you a side-to-side shaker, or are we doing the like...
I like to do like my head's not even moving, but the hair but moves, the hair, you know, moving. That means the cut is official.
The cut is fresh.
It is fresh.
I love it. I'm on to the... I just don't want anything else right now.
Right? It's the way.
It goes with everything. Mm-hmm. Plus, I'm out the door in like 10 minutes, mm-hmm. which is so nice.
It makes you feel kind of like more mature as well. Put together. Like, yeah, I feel like I'm quite that girl. Chic. With a bob.
I think you're that girl anyways.
Thank you very much. So are you. So are you. So it's so amazing to have you on. And I feel like maybe some of my audience may not know who you are, your story, what you're doing. Mm. But I know that you're a United Nations Goodwill Ambassador, model, actress, and you've been around, and actually now you're a founder. So I'd love for you to share a little bit about like who you are, what you do. Give us the spiel. And, you know, show off a little bit if you don't mind.
Do a bit of a bob shake again.
Yeah.
No, I don't, like, it's so funny because I feel so much has happened in the past couple of years of my life. I'm like, what am I doing? Who am I? What day it is? What year is it? There's so many things that I've been able to do the last couple of years that I'm so passionate about and proud about that sometimes it's like, wow, I'm actually doing these things. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, and you brought attention to the philanthropic work that we've been doing. I'm really proud to be a UN Goodwill Ambassador now.
Amazing.
I'm just a girl from Vancouver, Canada.
Yeah.
I have like two brothers, two sisters. So I grew up in this big family house, first generation Africans. And my mom was always like thinking about the continent, thinking about going back to Somalia. She left just before the war. So my whole young life, she was getting family members out of Somalia to Canada, but like with the intention of going back.
I see you here in London, and I actually didn't know you were Canadian. Is that crazy?
No, I get that all the time.
I didn't know that.
I mean, yeah, why would you?
So you obviously, we haven't mentioned, you're married to the amazing Idris Elba, who you actually met in Canada.
Yeah.
And how did that happen? And then what I want to work out is making the jump to leave your country and
right.
what you know to actually settle for love or come to another country for love, because that's another form of immigration. There's economic immigration and then there's love immigration in a way.
It's the follow your heart.
Yeah.
If somebody told me I would have moved that far away for a guy, like, I don't know, 8 years ago, I would have been like, yeah, right.
Yeah.
It was definitely not in my kind of ethos of relationships. I mean, in previous relationships, like maybe I had never been with someone that I had valued enough to, or valued our relationship enough to feel valued myself and to feel that I'd be supported in the right way, that you kind of need to support each other when you travel or anyone leaves where their home is to be with someone. Like, it's a big thing, you know?
Yeah,
and like, definitely. I make light of it now, but I remember when I moved, it was a massive decision. So I met Idris at this random jazz party. It's like a Vancouver staple. It's called Slow Jam Sundays. And like, they play like old school R&B, but also like just like jazz. And like, it's like Luther Vandross. And like, I mean, it's
giving vibes. The way your shoulders are shaking.
Vibes.
I know. I can tell.
It is.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're grown and sexy if you're at that party. You know what I mean? Like, so it was like that party for Vancouver that it just brought out a good crowd. And then there's like this like random guy, and there's not a lot of black guys in Vancouver.
Okay.
So he stood out like a sore thumb. And my girlfriend at the time was, she's still my girlfriend now, shout out to Claire. But she was like, oh my God, who's that guy? Like, da da da. And you know, we went up to him and she was like really into him and, you know, doing her thing. And then she was like, okay, I think he's into you.
Okay. At least she knew though. Shout out to her. She did not block the energy.
Like,
good.
Trying to be a good friend. You're like, no, that's wrong. Like you were like, you know, and then I was like, it's kind of cute. Anyway, so we exchanged numbers or whatever, and I realized who he was. Mm-hmm. And then I was thinking, I was never going to call. Like,
right.
You know, he's probably just like talking to 100 girls that night or whatever. And we happened to end up later on that night at the same venue. Like, he could have gone anywhere else, and we ended up at the same place again.
Amazing.
And he called my phone because he saw me leaving to a taxi. I look at my phone, I pick up, he's like, where are you going? Why are you here? And I was like, what? And then I got in his car, which still freaks me out because I was always the girl that said to my friends, don't get in a stranger's car.
Yeah, I mean, it was Idris, so you're fine.
Right, but you still have this moment of like, what
it's very dangerous.
I got in a random car with like, you know, I don't know.
I've done that before. It didn't end well in Malaysia. Right. I was almost kidnapped, but we'll talk about that another day.
I mean, I guess he kidnapped my heart.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was corny.
We love that. I guess he kidnapped my heart.
Oh. But he did. We were inseparable after that, which was really nice. And then it was like 6 months later, he had to go back to London because he'd finished filming what he was filming in Vancouver. And we had this moment of like, okay, bye, I guess. Yeah. And then, but then we continued. So like 3 months after that, long distance, he was like, I think you should come. And I was like, you know what? Okay, I think I should. And there was this visa that you could go and travel Commonwealth countries.
Yes.
And I was like, I have nothing to lose here. I'm going to go, I can work. And, you know, and if it doesn't work out, I can come back. But I was scared.
Yeah. Actually, like, what I'd love to know, because we talk about career, money, finances. So you were, had you gone to university?
Yeah, I just graduated when we met. So I'd finished my bachelor's in philosophy and I'd intended to do my, I did do my LSAT and I intended to go to law school. I kind of was going through this weird, do I want to move to Toronto? I was living in Vancouver at the time. What school do I want to go to? I was kind of sick of school and needed a break.
Fine.
So for me, it was like, okay, let me go work for a couple years, travel. People say they do that.
Loads of people
and then,
do that, yeah.
You know, and then if I want, I can go back to school and go back. I never did end up going back to law school, but I did, I appreciate that time in my life because I found out so much about myself moving to a new country. I started working in PR. I was doing, like working for this agency in Fitzrovia. So I got to see central London and I was like, I don't really want to work in an office. That's not me. That is not. And then also at the same time, being with someone who could open up my eyes in a way that like, you know, I was seeing countries I'd never been to and discovering how accessible Europe is and thinking the last thing I want to do right now is be stuck somewhere
in
again when I had just sort of had that feeling, especially in an office. And I also wanted to kind of work for myself. So I always had this idea of sort of building an entrepreneurial mindset because Idris is probably the most entrepreneurial person I've ever met.
Yeah.
Like he'll open a business today, tomorrow, you know?
Yeah.
Like he's like, let's do it. Let's do it ourselves. Why do it with someone else? And I'm like, I love that mindset.
Yeah.
You want it, take it.
Do you feel like you kind of had to come into the deep end? So there's a level of maturity of having to leave your home, leave your country, leave maybe what you had thought about what you were going to do with your career, and then start something new and then be someone around someone who's so entrepreneurial.
Are you saying I'm mature?
You're what?
Mature.
Mature. Not mature. Actually,
like
you could become across, you could come across as a bit mature.
I hope at this point in my life, I'm turning 35 this year. I hope I'm mature.
35.
I am turning 35.
What?
I know. I think press still has me younger, which I maybe I shouldn't have said anything.
No, I literally thought you were 28 or like 26 or something like that.
That's the one thing I'm taking with me today.
Oh,
thank you.
Oh no, don't worry. Black don't crack. Well, especially with some sable.
Exactly.
But that you kind of had to like come in on the deep end and then kind of start like get rowing, especially if you're with someone who is entrepreneurial, busy. You have to also be busy yourself.
And try and not get caught up in the storm or craziness that is someone else's life. Like it's really, it was really important to me to be able to maintain my own identity. And sometimes that can be hard when someone else's identity is so strong and so big.
Yeah.
On all the reasons that I love him for, you know, and his massive personality. And to be able to kind of go, okay, well, who am I? I'm still going through this discovery. I don't want to lose that.
Mm-hmm.
And not being afraid to explore what that is because, you know, I heard early on like, oh, why are you talking? You've just married someone or like, why are you on posting? Or like, I was like, okay, let's not silence someone's voice.
Wow.
You know, and my mom always told me, like, the most important thing you have in this world is your voice. And I was like, I'm still going to talk about whatever I want to talk about. If I want to post a pair of shoes, I'm still going to post a pair of shoes. I'm not going to change my identity.
Say that to you or someone like
it was almost like this attitude that I was feeling of towards me of there's no reason that you should be speaking up or talking about things that you care about because you're only here because of him. And I remember thinking, you know what, that's your prerogative because I'm still going to say and talk and be whoever I want to be in whatever moment I want to be in because it just didn't make sense to me. I grew up in with such a strong woman. You know, my mom was like a strong African woman. Mm-hmm. No one would have taken that from her. So, and I thought, okay, let me just figure out what I want to say and who I am. And I was going through this exploration and it just handholding because he's like really good at that. And I feel like I've come now to a place where I can say I'm quite proud of who I've developed into over the past couple of years. And I maybe couldn't have said that like 4 years ago. Like maybe I was still going through that kind of journey, but now I feel quite settled and in a groove and quite good about who I am and the things that I have been able to speak on. And that feels refreshing. And it's like a newer revolution. So pardon me if I'm basking in it for a moment, because I'm literally like, oh, you know what? That feels good. I haven't had that.
I can imagine though, there was a period then though that you maybe would have listened to those voices that were like, maybe you should, maybe you shouldn't, don't speak up, and dealt with that battle. But that was probably an internal battle that probably didn't sit right with you. Would that be the case?
Yeah. And I was super stubborn because I would always say, I don't care what people think, you know, but then I wouldn't accept the fact that it actually was affecting me. So I wouldn't deal with it. So I think to first accept, actually, this is something that bothers me. What am I going to do about it? So I completely stopped reading, you know, comments. And I didn't have Instagram in the beginning of our relationship. Like I'd gone off Instagram when I was like in uni because I was trying to study.
Focus.
And then when I started again, I was like, why did I open myself up to this world of opinion? And then I realized, you know what? It's a tool. It's not bad or good. It's however you let it affect you or however you decide to use it. So I stopped reading a lot of stuff and I just, you know, really just had to make a decision to just not let it affect me. But it was for sure. It really was.
What's really interesting nowadays, there's kind of like a movement with the girlies, the Gen Z girlies who we love, where actually they're happy to be, well, there's one school of thought is happy to be like the stay-at-home girlfriend. But actually there's like really amazing content of girls like what I do as a stay-at-home girlfriend. And like they make a cup of coffee, they do a little stretch and they wear like cute outfits and don't do anything. And like, they love it. There's this kind of vibe around soft life and actually girls not having to work as hard, was I do think that there are the women who are a little bit older, you know, 30s, who actually we love the idea of that independence and, you know, doing it for ourselves.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to see the younger generation who maybe are like, no, I'm chilling. What's your thoughts on that?
I mean, to each their own, I guess, because my mom was a stay-at-home mom. I mean, she had five kids, you know. Yeah. So I have so much respect for women who just want to make the home their priority because let's admit it, you know, you want independence, you want to be able to work, you have to give up some things and you're not going to be able to be home all the time as much as you want, especially if you have children. I can't imagine, you know, I don't have children myself, but I'm sure there are women every day making a decision. Oh my gosh, this career is really something I want to do because I am losing time with my children or my home or my husband or whatever that is. So anyways, respect to that, but it couldn't be me. It couldn't be me. I am like, independence is, I'm like dying to be in the word. What, give me one of the letters because I just need to feel like, I don't know. It's like, I just, what is my worth? What is my purpose? I need to define those things myself. Mm-hmm. I can't do that depending on someone else.
Yeah.
I feel that I personally can't. And if someone else feels they can, great.
And that probably leads on nicely to you moving into your journey of becoming a founder. Mm. And what I love is obviously you're a founder in the beauty industry, but there's like values behind that. So I'm a beauty girly. I love a good product.
Yeah.
And it'll be great to know like what that journey's been like, because I've seen brands come and go over the last 10 years, and some brands have really been able to stick based on actually that, like there's something in the air about that brand, and then some haven't. And what I love about your brand is that you're really kind of trying to bring those African ingredients and almost bring, I think it's A-beauty, we're calling it now, versus, not versus K-beauty, but we're seeing Korean beauty have its own movement, but you really want to bring A-beauty into the fold. So like, what's that journey been like for like building something from the ground up?
And it's been a journey for sure, because it wasn't something that I didn't even know it was going to be skincare. I started to realize really quickly, I don't fit into whatever this wellness space is. I felt like it was a very specific type of person. It was like, you know, one race, one gender, one like Lululemon kind of person. Yeah. And I thought, wait, where's the wellness that I feel like I can relate to? And looking at like my products and everything, I thought, wow, I am going on this wellness journey feeling like there isn't a space for me in it. So Idris, of course, being, you know, as entrepreneur as he is and rubbing off on us, is you want the spaces, sometimes you have to create them. So it really started looking at wellness and feeling somewhat left out. And then on top of that, we would see products that my mom like gave me baobab in my yogurt every night. And then it was like a shot for like a trend that would felt appropriated in some way. So you're seeing your culture that should be a part of the wellness space get appropriated, and then it still doesn't even include you.
Yeah.
I was like, this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I've been
and I get really frustrated now, because I've had some feedback from some beauty editors who go, oh yeah, but you're a celebrity founded skincare. And I'm like, don't start lumping me into a space that's overly saturated when I created this product out of a space that was empty.
Yeah.
And that really frustrates me.
Let's talk about that, because this is a discussion that happens when celebs now are kind of creating brands, or they're not really founding it. They're just slapping their name on. And you can see the celebs who really care, like Selena Gomez and Rare. I know that she's really been able to create a movement there, but others not so much. So do you feel like people may want to group you into that? And how do you differentiate yourself?
Yeah. Look, there's definitely people out there who are obviously just getting paid. Mm-hmm. And you can tell. Okay. I'm not going to deny that. And all of a sudden there's a lot.
Yeah.
When we launched, I was like, wait, another one? Another one?
Yeah.
Another one? What's happening?
You should see my beauty room. It is filled with products.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's the elephant in the room. I'm absolutely not going to deny that. But you're right. There are differences, I think, in maybe the intention or the passion. And that does come through. I absolutely agree. Yeah. And there are some people that I look at and I'm like, did you really care when you developed that? And also, how much do you know? I had way too much time on my hands during COVID. I could tell you how many peptides and how many ceramides and how many AHAs and BHAs are in our products, because I cared enough to sit do the work and to help discover and learn about the formulations, because we formulated it 100% ourselves. I mean, so much to the point that the lab was like, that's like our job.
Yeah.
Well, sorry, we've done it because this is what we want. So you can tell us how to bind it and whatever, but you know, we're going to create the formulations. So I get really frustrated, especially because of the history that I was telling you about, you know, not feeling like there was Black owned skincare that was mastige, that addressed issues that, you know, melanated skin faces, like hyperpigmentation and inflammation, that didn't either charge you too much or was in the bin bargain aisle of Walmart.
Yeah.
And that also sourced in a sustainable way and cared about climate like everyone does, including Black people.
Yeah.
So we just felt like, okay, so we created something feeling like there was nothing like it or not enough like it. And now people are saying you're like everything else. And to me, that was just like, no, sorry.
Yeah.
Rewind, take a couple steps back. And so then we meet with a lot of beauty editors, because as you know, like, you know, being in the industry now, you have to sort of do the meetings and do the runs. And you speak to all the editors and introduce them to the product and speak to the stores. And I hear so often, it's like, oh, but you're like celebrity skincare. And I'm like, okay, but we're not.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
And even the ingredient choices. So Quasil powder is in one of your items. And there's a few other ones that I know that most people don't know about right now. Unless you know.
Because
I know. And so.
And the fact that you know, it's like you are a beauty girl.
I'm a beauty lover.
You researched and Googled.
And there's so many secret ingredients out of Africa, like Shebi powder as well. So that's like used for hair masks. But everybody else isn't going to know about that. But there are weirdos. I call them kitchen beauty weirdos who buy powders and buy oils and buy essentials and like mix them up and use them. I used to sell illegally. Actually, no, it's probably not illegally.
I love that.
I used to like mix up oils with herbs and mint and like ship them out to people because I've been a beauty creator for so long and people wanted hair oils from me.
Right.
And I was like, this is overwhelming. So I stopped.
Yeah.
But fundamentally, I think that you're kind of almost bringing some of these like kitchen methods and ingredients that some of us have grown up with or know about that are culturally important and like packaging it in a way that maybe more people can have access to them. But there's a lot of education as well still.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny because I think for me, it's definitely a cultural thing. I grew up watching my mom mix and make everything on her own. And at first I actually rebelled against that. I remember thinking, Mom, what is that you're putting on your face? I'm going to Sephora. Bye.
Yeah.
Like, do you not know what Ole Henriksen is?
Yeah.
You know? And now I totally understand and appreciate, but I think it's because a beauty and the ingredients from the continent weren't spoken about enough for us to.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda. Whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch, find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Understand the value. Value was given to so much else in this space. And the ingredients are so powerful, but they would be like a secret ingredient in Armani.
Yeah.
And it's like African resurrection plan. And it's like, let's give these ingredients the shine that they deserve. And I do love that you kind of notice that it's like that. Let me just mix it and make it because it is very much full of natural ingredients. But I did also love that we kind of approached it with a synthetic and a natural kind of blend. So you have the chemistry and the science behind the natural ingredients. And I felt that that only enhanced them and also was better for the footprint that we were leaving on the planet because you can't just take natural ingredients and expect for the planet to pick back up. Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, it did really have that kind of vibe of like, okay, what can I mix that my mom used? And I mean, even the ghassel, you could buy it. Yeah. But we realized when you're formulating, it has to have certain safety sheets. A lot of it has bacteria in it, you know?
Yeah.
So to be able to get it the way we needed to get it, I mean, that was a whole crazy story.
Yeah. So my eBay powders that I'm buying off some random people is probably not the most safe for me, but not at large scale, basically.
Maybe not at large scale, but even sometimes, you know, depending on how they were shipped, and bacteria can grow in anything, right? And how it was stored and the temperatures that it was stored at. These are all things that I was like, oh my God, I had no idea.
Yeah.
So just being able to build the safety sheets for all the ingredients and doing it the way we were doing it, sourcing from small farmers, we had to be really careful.
Yeah.
And a lot of these ingredients are sourced that way because it's not shipped out on a massive scale because unless it's something big like shea or moringa now, because, you know, farmers are just picking up and figuring that out. And that's actually a lot of the work that we do on the philanthropic side. So we had the resources and we had kind of a bit of background knowledge to be able to pick up on it. But my mom had to go to Somalia, talk to the farmer, check it out, help him fill the sheets, send it to our lab so that we could test it. Like it was still a very family run process.
I
like, you know what I mean? So it is very much in the kitchen.
And let's take it back to like just the founder process. So I know, again, that the idea of building something from the ground up, one is expensive. So did you raise capital, seek investment to start off with? Like pitch deck, what was that situation like? And then obviously you didn't have experience in this besides the knowledge, you know, old school experience and the knowledge you've picked up. But did you feel like you needed anyone to partner with to really help you actually scale and execute and even get into retail?
Yeah, 100%. So we are 100% family run business. We have no investors. It's all us. And I'm so fortunate to be able to say that. I completely understand that. But I also love the fact that we've been able to do it 100% the way we want to do it. Because I do worry, and it's not to say that we won't ever go down that route, but I do worry that with investment, sometimes you lose the ethos and the credibility of what you wanted to do from the beginning because you're trying to please quite a few people.
Yeah.
So I'm really, really fortunate and really thankful that we've been able to do this as a family business, which I do feel is like, you know, I'm proud about that as well. And then when we were, because you're right, I was like, oh my God, I'm so in over my head. Like there's a lot here. I reached out to a friend. Yeah, she's actually one of my best friends and she was doing Tom Ford sales and education. She'd worked with Tom Ford for a really long time. And I was like, could you like leave Tom Ford? Because I loved Tom Ford skincare. And I was like, can you help us. She was like, what? What are you doing? And she did. I don't know how we convinced her.
I love this. This is so fabulous. Because actually, I spoke with one of our episodes with Chrissy. She's built a brand that's now worth about 61 million pounds. And she's an influencer and didn't have any experience as well. And she called on, I think it was a friend as well,
right,
to really be part of her starting out team. And off the back of that, she's built a team of 100. So what's your thoughts on working with people that you know and have had relationships with and bringing them on board in your dream, especially when it's in the very beginning?
Yeah, I love it. It's not for everyone, but, and you know, people even said when I started working with Idris, oh, don't work with your husband. That's not going to turn out well, but we love it. It works for us. And actually, you know, one of the first things we started with Sable was a podcast to kind of learn and educate ourselves about how people work together. And it was called Coupledom. And, you know, we would talk to best friends, business partners, people in relationships, husband and wife, just asking, how do you make it work? Because we found that space so interesting about people in your life, just making your life more fruitful. And it's like the first thing you learn in school, like the buddy system, hold someone's hand, because we are valuable to each other, you know? And I think humanity is only stronger by the numbers, by strength. So for me, it's like a no-brainer. And Jessica, who was at Tom Ford, who left to come work with us, she has completely opposite complexion to me. Like, she's fair-skinned, blonde-haired, blue-eyed. So for me, it was also important to understand her skin concerns and what she's going through so that we could create something together that was for everyone. Because we were so frustrated by the fact that, you know, I would buy like luxury skincare, whatever it was, and feel like there's no ingredients in there that help support hyperpigmentation. And everyone goes through it. And having conversations with her that were so... like eye-opening to me about, you know, for instance, a freckle on someone who is of lighter skin or a Caucasian woman, it's considered sometimes cute. But you got a freckle on someone with darker skin, a lot of times it's like, oh, that's hyperpigmentation.
Yeah.
And it's like just breaking that kind of language to understand, oh, what do you want? What do I want? And what do we all want? And actually, it's the same thing. It's makes just, yeah. And I love that. And I love working with her, and I wouldn't have it any other way. And, you know, we're just still a small team. There's only six of us. So it feels like a lot, but it's exciting. And most of the team is, you know, found through people we know or leveraging partners, or I think networking is really one of the greatest assets you can have. Yeah.
Honestly, finding the right people in your camp can make or break what you do in the long term. And I think that cultivating those relationships and having those conversations, because I think a lot of people are scared to approach people, ask them, oh, hey, I might need some advice. I might need some help. Could you come on board and help me for a little bit? Was that something you ever struggled with? Or once you had your friend on board, you were like, let's roll?
Well, once I had my friend, it gave me a bit more courage. But I was like, you know what? I need to speak to you. So I'm Charlotte Tilbury, who was, you know, like the Charlotte Tilbury. I still can't believe I know Charlotte Tilbury. She did my wedding makeup. And I remember she was just so inspiring as a businesswoman. Like, she needs a documentary or like a 6-part series. Yeah. She is so on it. And I remember thinking when we started on, I'm not doing business unless I talk to Charlotte about it.
Yeah.
And I was so scared because you're thinking people don't want to help you. You're going to annoy them. Da, da, da. Like all the stuff that runs through your head when you're asking someone for help. I was like, just do it. Just do it. I built up courage. And she has literally been one of our strongest assets and partners, helping us sort of just navigate the beauty industry as a whole and just understanding all of the, you know, what do you need? Who do you want to talk to? I'll hook you up. I'll write an email. And she's been so great. And it was her. And it was also Barbara Strum, who I was using at the time. She's my derm.
Dr. Barbara Strum, I was complaining
about everything. And really my first education about hyperpigmentation inflammation came from her and her dark skin tones line, which she developed with Angela Bassett, I believe. And just leveraging and asking questions. And it was like these amazing women that I never would have thought would have had the time of day.
Yeah.
And if I hadn't had the courage to just be like, hi, I need some help. Like, you know stuff. Can you help me?
Yeah.
and then to expect that they'd be responsive. Like, I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. You just have to ask.
Yeah.
You need to build the courage and ask, because people do want to help people most of the time.
I 100% agree with that. And that courage, I think, is the key thing, I think, for a lot of people, especially women as well. They may not feel confident to ask, but my favorite like quote is basically feel the fear and do it anyway. Like, literally.
Love it.
Just do it. Gotta ask. Just do it. The worst thing that's going to happen is you're going to be rejected.
Yeah, exactly. And don't be so scared of rejection.
Amazing. Right? Yeah. I love that. So you're still on the journey of founderdom. Founderdom? Do we call it that?
I like it.
Founderdom. Yeah, founderdom. Mm-hmm. And like, you're doing amazing, basically. It's great to hear.
It does. The response to the brand has been so much more overwhelming than we thought. Like, I think you create something thinking, was anyone even going to notice?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you go, oh, wow, it's growing.
I agree. I love that. Okay. So there's actually something we have, like a segment called the Eye Shaker, which is just some random off the cuff questions, just to get like your vibe a little bit and hopefully make you feel a bit awkward. Not too awkward.
Okay.
So what's the worst outfit you've worn on a red carpet?
You know what? I went through this phase. This is actually, I think it's kind of funny because when I moved to London, Vancouver's very hipstery kind of yoga pants and like, you know, it's not. And I remember seeing so much floral in West London, being like, oh my God, people really wear floral, and having this like identity crisis of like, I think I need to dress like older. And like, I wore a crop top because I used to just wear crop tops all the time. I mean, I was like 26 when or 27 when I moved to London, but I was still wearing crop tops and thinking I was getting stared down by people.
Yeah. I mean, maybe in West London.
Yeah.
Not in South London. You can wear whatever. Hoodie and jeans.
Shout out to South London. Hey. I love it because West London was not giving it to me. Right. I was like, oh my God. So I think I remember like just being like, what do I wear? And like looking for stuff that was floral. I had this, I'm not going to name because I don't want to offend any designers, but I did have this one outfit that I was just like, why did I wear that? Because I felt I had to dress of a certain age or something because I'm married now. Like, it was just, anyways, it was a hot mess. But I feel a lot freer now in fashion. I feel like, you know, I'm just going to wear what I want.
Yeah.
What I want. And if I want to wear a crop top, I'm going to wear a crop top.
Yeah, that's the way. Mm-hmm. Are you a Drake fan, seeing as you're from Canada?
1000%.
Have you met him before?
I have. I have met him a couple of times. I actually met him before I met, just Canada's not as big a place as it seems.
Right? You feel like you just see a celeb like, hey. Well, he's the main celebrity, isn't it?
Is that shade at Canada?
I mean,
well, we got a lot of Canadians.
Do you know what?
Did you know Justin Bieber is Canadian? Did you know Celine Dion is Canadian? Jim Carrey, Robin Williams, Shania Twain.
I love Celine Dion.
Is Shania Twain Canadian? I hope she's Canadian. I am the biggest Celine Dion fan. I don't know if it's because I'm Canadian.
No. She's amazing.
So when that news came out,
yeah,
I actually, like a part of me like felt like, and she's coming to London. Did you know she was? She was. She canceled it.
Oh,
because of everything that happened. I know. And I'm devastated. I think she's one of the most amazing voices.
Like, I watch her documentaries, like about behind the scenes of her Vegas show.
She's so cool.
And it's amazing. So wishing her like a speedy recovery. And like,
I know, I hope so. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Canada's got something going on. There might be something in the water there.
She knows now.
Yeah. Oh, yep. She got any Canadians, like, let us know the vibe. And what's your beauty maintenance routine? Do you have one?
I have to have my lashes, my nails, my eyebrows, and currently my weave. Otherwise, yes. I don't have no time to do anything. And I started weaving again recently because I was damaging my hair so much that I'm, and actually Rio, who I've been working with, was like, I'm not talking to you till you get a weave.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, okay, I'm doing it. And I'm so thankful. Like,
a sew-in is the way to go.
I know,
right,
but
now,
when I was younger, I used to think it damaged my hair.
No.
I don't know why I used to think that. And I also, you know, Somalis actually have quite sensitive hair. Like, I like felt like anything I would do would like piss it off, straighten it. Cause it's quite, my hair is quite fine. It's quite soft. It's like, don't mess with it.
Right.
So
okay.
I used to think weaving or braiding or doing any protective style was actually damaging. And now I'm like, I was crazy. The heat is
the thing.
Were
you more
like
a bun girl? Like, you just like slick it back into a bun.
I was always, I love when my hair is like just out the shower curly and I can put it in a bun. That's like with Miss Jessie's. I still use Miss Jessie's.
I have that. Yeah, for my kids. Yeah.
My hair's a bit too tough for that. I still, you know what? I am convinced my hair grows more from Miss Jessie's than anything else. Wow. That's like my hair beauty. People are like using like these beautiful oils and like all this stuff. And I know Miss Jessie's probably has a lot of chemicals, but whatever's in it, it reminds me of pink lotion. Did your mom use pink lotion
pink
on you?
Pink lotion. I can even smell it as you mentioned it. Like a blue magic.
And did blue you use magic. Blue exactly. magic. Because I think it's like the texture. Like it's just, you need that hydration that's oily,
it's
and
just
stays
the water
all day.
And the grease together is like a nice sealant for hair that loses moisture.
And
quite
that's totally
easily.
My hair. My curls are not having it.
Ooh, I haven't thought about pink lotion for so long.
Do they still make it?
Do you know what? I think in some hair shops you could probably find it. Mm-hmm. And it's a good product, to be fair. I don't know why we forgot about what the old school stuff.
Bring pink lotion back.
Bit of blue magic and pink lotion. that is the way. So yeah, you maintain your beauty regime.
Yeah, I do. I have to. I'm that person every 2 weeks. during COVID, I was going mad.
Every 2 weeks.
Okay. Every 2 weeks.
You heard, I just feel like
that's
it
all
first.
I need then. Yeah. You know what I mean?
You're beautiful.
I'm set. A,
you're beautiful anyway. Uh-huh. But
at least that way, I feel like I can wake up and be like, ooh. So, and I have my set people. I've got my tribe.
Yeah.
I've got to go to. I feel like I'm that person.
You know who you need.
I know who I need.
Fabulous. Oh, and what is something you like or into that people wouldn't expect or know?
Oh, I feel like people think I'm like very, I am glam. I like, I love glam, but I'm also, I am a huge anime nerd and I play video games like all day. So I feel like people don't put those two things together normally. So that's probably one.
That is fab. So time is money is our quick fire question.
Yes.
So what's something you spend way too much time on?
Definitely video games.
Video games?
Yeah. Oof.
That is
because it will just steal your whole day.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to make more time for?
My family.
What's the most valuable thing you've learned in the last year?
Time is money.
Like this segment. Yeah. And best investment you've made into yourself?
I feel like it's been starting businesses that we started.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think that they're like the best investment?
I think it gives you a sense of control of your destiny. And I think that's what something I've been yearning for.
Sorry. I love that. Best piece of business advice you've ever been given?
That business is a tool. It's not bad or good. It's how you use it. And I apply that to everything now.
What helps you manage your time?
Idris.
Oh, really?
I hear hurry up a lot.
Oh, I think that's every woman to be fair. Are you ready? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you make important decisions quickly?
Call my mom, probably.
And what do you do to center yourself at times of stress?
What do I center myself at times of stress? Oh.
What do you do to center yourself during times of stress?
That's hard because I get stuck in stressful situations. I'd probably just go find a hug, call a friend.
It would be great to hear what's next for you. What are you focused on? And like where's your heart at? Which I feel like you've shared, but
yeah,
anymore.
Well, I'm going back to school, which actually is quite exciting.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think I want to do my master's and then my PhD. So I'm starting that in September. But I feel the work that I've done with the UN has inspired me to sort of, sometimes you're in these rooms and you feel you can do the job better.
Right.
And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to follow that instinct. So I don't know where that's going to take me, but I do love working in that space and to be able to work professionally outside of being an ambassador is something I'm interested in. So
I love, I would love to just explore that because obviously you're not just out of school and going to university. Is any pressure? Do you feel that pressure of I'm a bit older and I want to study? Because I've heard stories of people going, in their 30s, 40s, 50s and doing really well.
You know, actually it's the opposite pressure I feel like I'm getting. Like, why are you going back to school? Settle down, have a family, you know, like have a baby. Mm-hmm. I hear that from my family all the time. And I'm like, I still have things to do.
Yeah,
Just hold that thought. I'll be back. And so it does feel like I'm kind of still following that. But not to say that I don't want children. Like, I love children and I'm a stepmom to three amazing children. And I love them all. But I also feel that's been so fulfilling that I can still kind of do my thing and feel like I've done a bit of both.
Yeah.
But you know, you never know. It's not like we control these things as much as we think we do, right?
So, For sure. And it's great to hear that you can go back into the world of learning and see what you can end up doing in the long run.
I think so too. I love school. I loved anything to do with school. Like, I went to two different unis. I went to art school before. Like, that was me. So I want to go back to that and explore that and see. And you still learn, I feel like, at any age about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I still want to learn about myself.
Yeah, I love that. Well, thank you so much. Oh, where can people find you?
Find me?
Yes, not online.
West London.
No. Not a diss to the South London.
Never.
We talked about Canada.
Never. I have so many friends from South London that I'm always like, how have I not been to South London? Which is crazy, right?
Yeah, I
know. So thank you for bringing me to South London. Right.
I know it's an hour and a half away.
I love all the South London memes.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
They're all
tough
true.
Tough girls.
It's really true.
I love it.
I don't know what's in the water down here. It's very hard.
Otherwise, you can find me in Sabrina Elva on Instagram and the products at sablelabs.co.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.